Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today.
DSW, let us surprise you.
Yo.
Podcast, the first time in the history of this podcast, Jack Fritz, do we get to come on and talk about a freaking no-hitter? This pod was already going to be a banger pod, folks. Let me just tell you, because we have a very, very special guest, a high hopes, like all-time get for us on this pod today. And we're like, oh, we'll just come in tomorrow. We'll record, you know.
15 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes, because the big thing is the guest today. That's what matters. And then that happens. We were just talking before the pod. I legitimately think it is arguably, you know, outside of clinching a playoff, like in 2007 when they clinched, it was like, oh, my God, the weight. Like, that was a magical thing. Like, 93.
Well, and chasing down the Mets.
Chasing down the Mets, the whole thing. For me, 93, for the first time I get to see my team in the playoff. Like, that was meaningful. But, like, outside of a clinching game, like, Jack, arguably the greatest regular season Phillies game of our lifetime, like, certainly up there. Between, you know, it was, you know me, and I, shout out to the tweet, man.
Yep.
Shout out to the tweet. I was welling up.
Of
like,
course
I was,
you were.
I was,
yes.
Wes Wilson, I even thought about it. He steps to the plate. I'm like, what if this kid does this? What if this kid hits home run his first? And then the family and the whole thing. I got two families last night, Jack.
I know. It's a big South
and
night.
In all honesty, like, I didn't cry during the Wes Wilson thing, but we never lie to the High Hopes listeners ever, right?
Yeah.
Michael Lorenzen holding his daughter on the field. Zoe used to have the exact same little, like the way her hair, like she had a strip on top of her head. So we did the little like ponytail where it shoots up in the air. The exact, like I welled up last night where tears were had when I saw him on the field with his daughter after. It was a freaking magical night.
It was. And I mean, if you ever want to like explain to people baseball. And, like, why people love baseball. Yeah. I think last night, if you just, the aliens come down, right? And they're like,
I love it. It's my favorite way to explain. I love that. Yes.
And they're like, hey, like, why do, because there's people who are casual baseball fans or casual sports fans, like, yeah, baseball's boring, yada, yada, yada. Like, how do you like that? It's so boring, drive to blah, 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 blah.
I think that was like the best impersonation I think I've ever heard.
If you just showed them, all right, why do people love baseball? And you put on last night's game. Yeah, and by the way, I'm calling him Weston Wilson, like, because I think of like he
West
sounds
Helms to West Helmsy,
exactly. But yeah. Also, like, it just sounds like a Duke or
it's
like
a
someone
much cooler name, Weston Wilson. Like, yeah. there's a class to it.
Yeah. I'm Weston Wilson.
Now, Weston Wilson.
I think he does need to start talking in an accent like
British
that. Post-game.
I agree with you. I mean, Weston Wilson is a Brit. I mean,
100%.
There's no other way to put it. Yeah.
Yes. And I hope UK Phillies like my British impersonation right there.
Dave Shaw. I'll tell you. You know who texted me at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm prepping for my show? Can't wait for the pod. Our buddy Dave.
Well, that's
shout
because
out
it
Dave.
Was like 9 a.m.
I
out
know
there.
It was. I'm just saying it was fun for me because everyone's asleep when I'm prepping, and then I got to talk to Dave this morning.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
So, yeah, and so Weston Wilson goes yard. Nick Castellanos went yard, and then he has number 200.
Yeah.
Like, It's not very often a guy hits his 200th home run and two homers in a game and is like an afterthought.
It's the third biggest thing that happened. Like, yes. We stopped the game. And as ridiculous as it was, we stopped the game for Gene Segura's 200th double.
Yep.
We gave him a freaking curtain call on the field.
Not we.
Yeah, Gene, the Phillies, whatever.
Started it.
But the point is, like, a 200th home run, is it, like, that's a big moment for Nick. You
frankly,
know?
I was surprised he just got a 200. I mean, I know he played
it. I thought he would have been there already.
I think he's closer to 300 than 200.
Yeah.
And then. It's just baseball more than any other sport, and I said this on the final night last night, but it just leads to so much more. Like, and it's so weird because I feel like I'm the crazy one, but I hear more and more stories about it, about like, I welled up at this.
Yeah.
I feel like we're always crying about baseball.
I know, dude,
like,
no.
And I don't know what it is about baseball, but it's just like it has so much like tear-inducing moments. I mean, you hear about like Weston Wilson, you know, 28 years old and 7 years
or whatever in the minors, the whole thing,
right? And his whole family's there, and then he has that moment.
And Liam Castellanos is running up.
Dude, Liam Castellanos
is like he's threatening the Fanatic to be who should be the mascot of this team right now. I love
like,
the kid.
He was
love
like
him.
Right next to Lorenzen's parents.
I
he's
know.
The,
I
like,
know.
I love that kid. And like him,
he's the best. That kid, giving his dad the signs. And stuff. Like Liam, you are the best, buddy. We
For
love
sure.
you, man. Seriously,
he is the GOAT. But it's just like there's so much. Well, like so obviously we don't even know Michael Lorenzen, right? Like he just got here.
This is his second start as a Philly. It's the first time he pitched in that ballpark,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and it's like he's going out there for the ninth. And full disclosure, like. After the sixth, I was like, hold on. He's not like.
No. There's no way he's going to get there.
I was like, after the fifth, I was like, oh, this is going to be a combino hitter.
Dude, I looked up in the moment. I'm like, what's the most? I got to know. Like, what's the most? It was 107. I was like, there's no way he's getting to the end of this game. Like, no way.
And I'm like, because I'm already concocting in my head how to spin the whole, like, well, combino hitters.
I didn't really. Not all combino hitters are Mickey Mouse. You know,
yeah.
This one, because of, you know, this.
Yeah.
Kimbrel was involved and he's an all timer.
Exactly.
We'll
remember where we were for the. Phillies 2023.
It is such a day. I used to give you a little crap on that one. It is like, without a doubt, like I actually have come around fully to the side where I don't think it should be called a no hitter unless it's one dude. Like,
it's not
just, it's not. It's not.
It's a
yes,
shutout.
It's a no hitter. It's yes. It's a no hit shutout, but not a no hitter.
No.
How about that?
That good.
We'll
good.
Call it a no hit shutout.
Yeah. Right. And then he just starts doing it, and I'm like, I didn't expect it to feel as cool as it did.
I totally agree with you, man.
And the eighth was done so fast, and I was like, dude, he's freaking three outs away. And like, he's 100% going out. And people were like,
at that point, it was obvious.
Of course he's going back out.
I had more of a question, and I thought he would send him out there until he got a hit or whatever. But like, I was more unsure after the seventh if he would go out. But once he pitched the eighth, I was like, Topper would like Topper knows he has to let this kid go out here.
Although Topper postgame was hilarious.
He's like, I told him to pitch quick.
Well, no, he also said,
the bulletproof vest. He's like, did you think about, it was 100, he's got to give him 20 more pitches. He ended up having 24 more at that point. But the great follow-up from the guy where he was like, oh yeah, I would have gone and pulled him. And he's like, wait a minute. You're saying if he walks that batter, you're going to go pull him after that batter? And he's like, I might have to wear a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, he's all time, dude. He is. I like Happy Topper.
Me too, dude.
I mean, the post-game speech where he's like, welcome to Philadelphia, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it was a small thing, but it was almost like, this is what we do here.
Totally.
This is what the fans bring.
Totally, man.
And this is like, welcome to winning. Is this like, that's what I kind of took it as. Like, you've been a part of Detroit, Cincinnati, the Angels. Like, welcome to real baseball. And I think that Thompson having that connection with the city, I think, is really special.
Totally. And I took it not just as, I totally agree with you. It's welcome to like a real run and a real contender, but I also took it as like, welcome to this group. Like, welcome, because that was the thing, and we've talked about this so much since the run last year and how it's carried over and all that, but I feel like this week, especially with the Trey thing, and
you talk about a week of tears.
Right? Dude, like the Cassie thing, and the players talking about how much men, and Harper's comments, and Stott's comments, and all that stuff. And then last night, like, one of the things that stood out to me the most was when he's doing his interview on the field, like, those guys are all gone. Like, the people do the water, but everyone goes to the dugout. They were all on the top step with their arms around each other waiting for him to finish his freaking interview. I'd never seen that. Like, I hadn't seen them do that at any point, man. Like, it's just, I think there is something about, like, not just welcome to Philly, but welcome to this, like, family. Like, they look at it as a family, and they love each other, and I think it was, like, welcome to this, man.
Yeah, I thought, It was like Castellanos has arm around like Caleb Coffin.
And Jake Cave, I think it was. I think it was Caleb Coffin. Yeah. One side, Jake Cave on the other. I'm like, okay.
I guess these are
odd group there. But yeah,
this
sure.
is our guys. They're our guys. Yeah. And Lorenzen, after the, you know, with his speech, talking about like, love you guys. Thank you for like
totally.
Welcoming
he
me
said, in. He said, and did the, also with the speech on the field, talking about the fans, he's like, they give me a boost. Like that crowd being behind me like that, like helped me get through it.
Crazy concept.
What a thought.
It's been a
week.
Dude, it's
man.
Been
it's been
a
like
week.
An all-time Phillies week.
And it's just it's so hard. I mean, so last year, all the moments pretty much came in the postseason, mm-hmm. right? But I think what bonds a fan base to a team is a regular season, like they're currently doing right now, where it's like you have the ovation and like now a group of mercenaries, they went on the run last year and became our guys.
Yep.
Now they're turning into like legends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the difference. Like, so like 07 to 11, like obviously 08 was magical, but like we got to know those guys 09, 10, 11, and obviously it crumbled after that. But like we got to figure out who they were and what they were about. We're starting to figure that out about this team. I mean, Castellanos in year two is unbelievable. Schwarber is Schwarber. Like you're just Bryce is like the best.
The young kids, Bryce and Stott, we're getting
Bomer.
Yep.
They are turning like even like you just. I feel like we just know them. Like we just know these guys, and you can't convince me that the ovations over the weekend have not led to everyone on that team like feeling more relaxed.
Look at how they're playing. Like
know.
What are we talking about?
Like the way the stars have played. The way that look like they're having fun. Like. I thought early in the season they didn't look like they were playing their best at home because I felt like they were tight and I felt like
there's pressure.
There was 100% pressure and yeah. and I think the fans, you know, anything that wasn't like the magic of last year, they were like, oh come on, like we got to recreate that. And I thought the play on the field resembled that, and I think the players felt the fan energy, and by having the ovations and having that last weekend, I think it just lifted a huge weight off their shoulders. I mean, think about how great Schwarber has looked. Look, Turner, Harper. Castellanos. JT's the only one that hasn't had like a moment since.
But JT calling the game,
yeah,
getting all the credit for Lorenzen.
He called a no-hitter. The stars, and I think that's why it feels different now, is because I think the stars look like the stars again.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude, I'm right there with you. And I think there's a few things like that. The connection to this team is honestly like growing to the point where I do think, and obviously you have to win a title for it to be this way, but like, I think this team has a chance to be our favorite team of all time. Like, I really do. I'm not kidding when I say that because of this connection. Like, I don't ever, and they have to win it all. Like, I get that. But like, the way that the connection right now, and not just the connection that we have with them and how much we love them, but like, have you ever heard a team talk about fans like this? Like, in my life watching sports, I've never seen, like, and it's because of the Turner ovations and it's because of the playoffs last year, but the accumulation of those things, the playoffs last year and their experience of that, and then this stuff now, like I've never heard such consistency of like, these are the best fans we've ever seen. We've never seen anything like this. This is helping us. This matters. This is a part of what we do. We have home, like all this stuff. Like I don't, in my lifetime watching sports, like I know that we've like, oh, we matter and oh, we travel and all that. Like I don't ever remember a specific team calling out its fans in this way in my life watching sports.
Well, I think the Eagles do when they go on the road.
Sure.
More.
Sure. And they'll say, oh, they're great. I'm taught, but I mean, like, man, like,
yeah, well,
these quotes this week, I don't remember it like this level of it.
Yeah, and it's smart because it makes the fans feel even more important.
Oh, it only intensifies.
And which is a problem for the rest of baseball, by the way,
dude.
I mean, the fact that
you don't want to come in here, buddy, the playoffs. I'm just telling you.
The fact that Trey Turner's turned like it's worked, you know, and he looks pretty good, even though whatever he's getting base hits, we take it. He's stealing some bags, like the fact that we get to like kind of say, yeah, we did. Like, it's going to be a problem for the rest of baseball.
Yeah.
It's going to be 100% a problem for the rest of baseball.
If we win the World Series, we're taking credit. The fans are taking credit.
What is so funny is that, like, last night was actually one of their weaker crowds of the year.
Yeah, it was only like 30,000. Yeah.
And I agree with Rube. I listened to him driving.
It sounded a lot louder.
It sounded way louder.
A lot louder.
But like, I don't know why. Like, why last night was the night where it's like only 30,000?
It's so weird. I mean, it's probably because if I had to guess, it's a middle of the week game against a bad team. A team.
Yeah, but that they've been fine with that all year.
But a team that's never here. Or, I mean, is always here. Excuse me. Like the Royals. Like the Royals. I mean, I'm just
let's
serious.
Go see Kyle
like, but no. But the point is, like, the Royals are never here. Like ever. Like, okay. You know, they never play here. These other teams so rarely play here. Like, we see the Nats every single year. I think there's a fatigue with that, especially when they're bad. So that's the best I got, honestly. Okay. And coming off a doubleheader, maybe it was like, not gonna go. I don't know. I you're right. It's really weird. All I got is middle of the week in the Nats. That's the best I can do.
But yeah, I mean, even the 30,000 felt really, really loud for 30,000. Now, obviously, most people had gotten down into the bowl to see the final couple outs. But it's just August 9th, 2023 is going to be one of those, like, you look back and be like, what a freaking, like, nutso game.
Well, it's, and I know I've said this before on the pod, and but it's true. It's like, you know, we spend so much time with this team, committing to being a baseball fan, the sicko, like us, the High Hopes community, you commit so much of your time to the Phillies. Like, obviously, it's every night, 3 hours a night, 2.5, 3.5, whatever it is, every single day and night of a six-month stretch. It's all your time, not to mention all the time we think about them, all the time we talk about them, all that stuff. Like the regular season is a grind, and it's fun when you're winning and all that, but, like, you watch every night for that. You know, you watch every night for the hope that wow, something magical can happen, because that's baseball, and that's the beauty of baseball, is that you can have a night and it can be something less magical, I'll say it, but a Luke Williams type moment that is a magical night and a beautiful thing as a sports fan. Or it can be something like last night where it's like about as magical as it can get on an August evening. Like, that's about as magical an August evening as you can have watching a baseball.
And what I love about this team and what I love about the season right now is that we're starting to stack memorable moments.
Yeah, buddy.
And
the video yearbook is...
The video yearbook is going to be like out epic. Of control.
Like, honestly, like, real chances to be a truly special video yearbook this year.
Yeah. I think, like, the 2023 Phillies, I think, are going to be remembered as like, again, one of our teams.
Yeah.
And the nice part about this is that it seems like it's trending that way, that it's not like last year's one-year fluke. You know, like, the
thank God.
Thank God. Right? I mean, it was trending in that way early.
Thank God. All right. Because there would have been nothing more Phillies, nothing more our pod than to get that run and then just go back to being like the same thing we were for the decade before. Like, it would just be like, oh, yeah, of course. But no, you're right. And like, they've been the second best team in baseball since June 1st. Like, this is not like, oh, they're playing better. Like, they've been really good for a while now. Ever since they got it out of their system early in the season, and Castellanos talked about how he thought they kind of, you know, thought it was, you know, kind of expected to win and all that. Like, there are so many things you can explain away earlier. The point you made earlier, like, they figured it out, and they're a really freaking good baseball team, you know, and they're a really good baseball team that loves each other and cares about each other and has this unbelievable chemistry going. It's like, I'm like, they freaking win the World Series, man. Like, I've known it logically all year. I predicted before the season, by the way. If you remember.
Well, you predict everything.
And then they started 1-5, and that sucked. Yeah, well, only if they've gone the year before.
Right.
I'm big on...
Well, I think you've predicted the Eagles win a Super Bowl like 6 years in a row.
No, I haven't. I predicted it. I didn't predict it last year. I predicted it. I'm predicting it this year.
Right.
And I predicted it in 2018 after they... I predicted it twice in the last 5 years. So that is a lot. Or twice in the last 6 years. But guess what? I have never predicted the Phillies going to win the World Series. All right? Literally, in the history of this podcast, I've never once said, I think, other than last year, when we all thought in the moment.
Felt like it.
But like, before the season, I never have. I was expecting this type of team this year. And thank God. Like, this is what we expected. The last, you know, week has been like, this was what last October was. Mm-hmm. And it's here.
Yeah.
It's freaking thrilling, man.
It is.
It's thrilling. Thank God.
Well, and it's making baseball fun again, like, in the city. And it's making, and it's so funny. You know, people be like, oh, baseball's dead in the city. No one cares about it. It's like, you guys were at Eagles training camp today, and I didn't hear an ounce of Eagles talk.
No, I turned people away. People called in and was like, I want to talk Eagles. I'm like, not today, pal.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It was like, you want to talk Phillies, you can get off. You want to talk Eagles, call back tomorrow.
But this
boom.
Is, and the Eagles matter 100% here. They're the biggest team in the city. But there is something different when a city falls for a baseball team, because it's every night, They feel like something can happen. This is what it was like 2009, 2010.
Totally was. Where it was. That's like, why they set the sellout streak record.
100%. And when this city falls, they fall hard.
We saw in October. I mean, again, to your point about the Eagles, in my career, my entire, and granted, you know, this is because I started right after the Phillies were good. You know, I've not had a good Phillies team till now. But in my career, like those 3 weeks, a month, whatever it was, from the end of the season till the end of the playoffs, like a month plus, like, we didn't talk Eagles on WIP in Eagles season.
And they,
were undefeated. They were like 6-0, 5-0, 6-0, 7-0. And we, like, we couldn't get an Eagles call in. Like, because all anyone cared about was the Phillies. It's such a great point. Like, we saw it last year and you see it now. Like, this city, like, really just fully dives in
they
when
care.
They're good.
They totally care. And, you know, you mentioned how well they're playing, and that's true. But it's just like, they can also be so much better.
Like, oh, dude, again, yes, they can be so much better.
And it starts with who's on the mound tonight. I mean, if there's anything that could kind of take down the vibe of the city, it would be 27.
Yeah.
But
people are going to love when he starts game two of the wild card series.
And I heard you guys talking about it today. And
it's just what it is.
You have to give him the ball.
He's going to be in the playoff. I don't, like, there's, like, again, unless he's hurt, he'll be the two guy.
Dude, obviously it's not the perfect comparison because they didn't win the World Series, but like it's the exact same thing as Cole Hamels.
It's like it's a carbon copy.
I mean, like, now Lorenzen,
except Cole showed that he could actually, you know, yes, dominate. Like, whereas Nola was good in the playoffs last year, he wasn't what Cole did in 08.
Now I think Lorenzen's better than 09 Pedro, but
yes, I think so too. But definitely.
But it's like, it's playing out the same exact way where like he's clearly not the same player, but you also have to give him the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take him out of the rotation and then you're not signing him.
Like, oh, that's over. I mean, if you take him out of the rotation, it's completely done.
Yeah. So it's just,
they're just not going to do it.
They're
and
not
also
do
that
it.
He can't pitch out of the bullpen. Like, it's like, you know, again, whether Lorenzen or Ranger, whatever, like, those guys have pitched out of the pen. It's just,
yeah,
it's what it is.
But, like, you see, you think about the upside of this team. And
but when they give Nola the start and, like, Lorenzen's piggybacking Ranger in a game or something, people are not going to be.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
And then Knowles goes, shove city.
Exactly. That's what'll happen.
But, yeah, just like you start dreaming on the upside of them. And now that you have the Stars playing, now that you have Castellanos, the July thing was a fluke. Again, 11 for 94.
He had 500 under 500 OPS in July.
Yeah, well, I think it was in the threes. If I believe
I think he got in the fours. I think it was in the fours somewhere for
okay.
July.
At one point,
it was
point,
like 425. That's off the top of my head, but it's somewhere in that range was his OPS for July.
Seems not great.
Well, he's been a really. It's an even odd month. Have you noticed this?
No,
it's really weird. Like, check out his Baseball Reference page. Freaking like 860 OPS in April, 5-something or 6-something in May, like 9,000 or 9 something in June, the horrible one in July, and now he's back up again. It's really weird.
Yeah. So, and Turner looks like he's definitely back to being a close, not $300 million Trey Turner,
not disaster that we need to give a standing ovation for because he's struggling so much, Trey Turner.
Correct. Now the biggest question for me is the bullpen.
Yeah. Well, Nola, and then the
bullpen. And Nola. But the bullpen, leaking oil a little bit.
Yeah. No, but, we've talked about this.
And this is going to happen when you go six man, that these guys are. It feels like I'm watching Jeff Hoffman and Matt Strom and watch these guys every single night.
Every night. And especially, like, look, Lorenzen twice has given this bullpen a rest when it really needed it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, those 8 innings in Miami, we talked about how important that was in the like sequencing of the team. But again, last night, the dude goes 9, and like they need that more. And Taiwan's done a nice job of struggling and then giving him innings and stuff like that. But
the Taiwan bit is all time.
It's the best.
Yeah, three runs in the first 3
innings. Especially just like, I can't throw fast in the first inning, and then I'm good.
Yeah.
All right, figure it out.
Yeah, and then wake up 7th inning.
Taiwan
Walker's
going to win 20 games, giving up like 1,000 runs in the first inning.
I don't know. Who's our last 20-game winner?
Halliday?
Halliday?
Probably, right? I mean, I don't think Cole did it in that run in there. Like, right?
I'm trying to think of 18 Nola.
I mean, they were so bad in there that there's no way they could have. I don't think Nola got there. You're talking about when he was third in Cy Young. I don't think he got there. I think he was like the high teens. So, yeah, I mean, since Halliday.
Taiwan Walker. I
mean, that's crazy.
Yeah,
you know?
It's ridiculous.
He leads the league. it's absurd.
So stupid.
But to your point, it is really exciting thinking about where this could go.
Well, it's just like now I wake up every day. And it's like, I just want to watch it.
Yeah, just get me the game.
Yeah, I just want to watch it.
Yeah, 6:40 can't come soon enough tonight. And it's like,
which has been an adjustment, because I used to be a big, like, get me to 7:05.
Oh, I know.
And now it's like,
a real change for you. Let me tell you, I'm very happy about the 6:40 thing.
It's great.
Any extra time I can get, I will take.
Yeah. Although, I do need to know, I mean, what was, like, no tweets, no texts.
Okay, so
like, what was going on at the end of the game yesterday?
So, I've not been tweeting during the games during the week as much. It's just like, it's a whole bed routine thing. So like I it's very funny. This is very silly. But I go to bed the second the game ends. Like I'm literally waiting there to go to bed. As soon as it's done, I'm ready. I've brushed my teeth. I brush my teeth during commercials. I go to the bathroom, whatever I need to do. So I did all that. I'm like ready for the game to end. I'm just like kind of laying there. And I forgot that I plug my phone in when I go to bed. And I put it away from the bed. So I have to get up to turn the alarm off. It's a whole freaking thing. So it's plugged in. I'm watching with Emily. And Zoe's in bed with us because it's like, we brought her in to watch it, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, and then I was like, oh yeah, like I should probably go pick up my phone now and tweet about this and text and stuff. So it was just like, honestly, in the moment, and I kind of like, I've gotten really used to not texting and tweeting at the end of games, or other than like, hey, we won, and then be done with it or right. whatever. So
okay,
yeah,
that's good.
I was there. I mean, I did respond to your text. It wasn't like
it was
like
late. I mean, it was like 10 minutes after the game ended.
It was 8 minutes after the game ended. All right, like, 8 minutes.
There was accusations that you fell asleep.
We were concerned, yes, but I did not, and I was there, and we spoke, and all that stuff. Good. Yes, yeah. It was thrilling, but now yeah. I was an actual moment with my family. You know, it was beautiful.
Now,
I did. I'm sitting with my daughter as he's got a girl who has the exact same hair that my freaking daughter had on the field. I'm just sitting there, I'm like holding my daughter, like well enough. Yeah, I wasn't ready to talk to anybody, but my daughter.
That's nice.
It was. It was actually a really nice moment.
It's a good moment. It's a good moment. August 9th, 2023.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Seltzer cries about Weston Wilson and his daughter again.
I was balling up the whole game.
Yeah. It was a game of tears. A game of tears. Yeah, I've actually gotten, I don't have TweetDeck up during the game anymore, so
yeah,
I just
watch. It's like, you know me, I don't tweet to begin with.
Yeah.
I find like when I find, right? Everyone knows my tweets. Ugh. Name of the last player, !! Like whatever. I'm very... So it's more just like I do it. So when I do tweet during games, I do it in the sense where like I don't care if anyone responds, if anyone whatever. Like I'm literally doing it just to like be a part of it with everyone. I'm like, all right, I want to feel like I'm watching the game with everyone or whatever. But I hate it. Like if it were up to me, I would never tweet during game. I would just put my freaking phone down. I would just chill. So during the week, I've been trying to do that more. I tweet a lot on the weekends during games, right. Chilling and relaxed.
Oh,
so.
You're in work mode.
I'm in work mode. Yeah. But I'm walking in. I gotta be up in a few hours and talk baseball. You know, I'm the set the sports tone for the city. You know, no big deal to me.
No one does that more than the morning show.
That's right.